Reason, Deism, and God podcast and the World Union of Deists strongly believes in the free and open exchange of ideas, opinions, and beliefs. However, the views expressed by our guests are not necessarily the ideas, opinions, and beliefs of the World Union of Deists and Reason, Deism, and God podcast.
Fix reason firmly in her seat, and call to her tribunal every fact, every opinion. Question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. Thomas Jefferson. In deism, our reason and our belief become happily united. The wonderful structure of the universe and everything we behold in the system of the creation prove to us, far better than books can do, the existence of a God, and at the same time proclaim his attributes. Thomas Paine. That deep emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power, which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe, forms my idea of God. Albert Einstein.
Remember, God gave us reason, not religion.
Welcome, everybody, to Reason, Deism, and God. This is the podcast of the World Union of Deists. I'm Tim Wingate, your host, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. I have the star and writer of several wonderful one-man plays, Mr. Ian Ruskin, who will be talking with us about his newest play, that has been performed multiple times all over the country, internationally as well, and it is about Thomas Paine. So stick with us. We will be back in just a few moments with Ian Ruskin.
Join the religious revolution. For thousands of years, the pure and simple belief in God, the designer and creator of the universe, has been held hostage by revealed religions. Greedy and dishonest men have smothered this natural and reason-friendly idea of a creator for their own selfish desires by making false claims to direct communication with the creator. They have filled volumes of pages with nonsensical, fear-producing drivel that they call Holy Scripture. Whether it's called the Torah, Old or New Testament, or the Quran, it's all ancient gibberish that goes against our God-given reason. Finally, towards the end of the European Age of Enlightenment, a reason-friendly system of belief in God was born. It is called deism. Deism happily unites our God-given reason with a realistic belief in nature's God. We're no longer burdened with such insane ideas as original sin, a vengeful and jealous God, a flat earth, the road to salvation requiring a bath in the blood of a man-god, or symbolic cannibalism. Deism points to the designer of nature, our creator, by applying our God-given reason to the designs in nature. This is truly a strong, clean, and healthy break from the ancient revealed religions and their fear-based superstitions and man-made myths. If you'd like to learn more about deism, if you'd like to free yourself and your family and friends and society from the man-made, unreasonable dogmas of the various revealed religions, write us, the World Union of Deists, for free information packet on deism. Write to WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. That is WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. Also, for an in-depth look at deism and to contact us, look on the web at www.deism.com.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Hey, so good for you to join us. I'm so happy about that. We've been having a good time here at World Union of Deists. We've got a lot of projects going on, and one of the projects that we have been very excited about for quite a bit of time, and that is working with Ian Ruskin on the production of his one-man play, The Life of Thomas Paine, and the bringing it to a video so that it's been recorded and it'll be available for people to watch. It may be also on PBS. He's had previous one-man plays on PBS in this country for several years. So we're going to go right to Ian and find out what this is all about. Ian, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Hi there.
Hi. Great. Thank you for joining with us. And I appreciate all the work. I have been studying Mr. Ian Ruskin and trying to see some of the things that you have done. And I'll have to tell you, honestly, I am very impressed with,
oh, thank you,
with the Harry Bridges project, the what little bit I have been able to see so far on Thomas Paine. So why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit about who is Ian Ruskin?
Ah, that's a big question. I mean, I'm an actor and now writer. I live in Los Angeles. I'm English, I guess, obviously. But I've lived in Los Angeles for 28 years, I think. And what happened was that about 14 years ago, I was cast to play a man called Harry Bridges in a play that it never really went anywhere, but we did a performance to Harry Bridges Union, the ILWU, which is the Longshore Union, and it was an extraordinary experience just to do that single performance, and the response of the people was so strong. And, you know, as an actor, I had always hoped to do work that meant something or that affected people in some way. And the work I was doing on episodic television was not doing that. So I realized that this man, Harry Bridges, who I knew nothing about, there was something about him that resonated. It then took me about another 6-7 years when I finally started to actually take some action, and I ended up producing a radio documentary about him, and then I wrote my first one-man play, From Wharf Rats to Lords of the Docks. And that we then filmed. Haskell Wexler, who's a legendary cinematographer, directed it. He also was the DP on the Thomas Paine, but I'll come to that. So we filmed it, a live performance, and it aired on PBS for 4 years over Labor Day. So that was very exciting. And you know, since that time, I mean, I perform that play as often as I can get a booking. And then about 4 years ago, three people, within the space of about a week, all said, you should do a play about Thomas Paine, who I didn't know very much about, but I did know he was English. So I did a little bit of research, and I just was amazed by the man and realized that this was going to be my next play. And then it, you know, took a little time, but I got a thing called a Kohler Fellowship to write the play. And I wrote it, and I had 5 scholars involved in looking over my drafts to make sure they were accurate, and sometimes they weren't. And then I performed it as part of that fellowship at a thing called Grand Performances in downtown Los Angeles. And then from there, I started performing all over America and twice in London. I then, again, wanting to follow really in the footsteps of the first play, I wanted to make a film of this play, a live performance. So I did an Indiegogo campaign where I raised quite a bit of money. And that, I must say, I mean, I have mainly talked to and communicated with Bob Johnson, But the World Union of Deists have been really quite extraordinary in supporting me. I have to say that Peter Tai, who's a member who lives in Singapore, has given $15,000 towards the film, which is quite amazing. So I gathered the money through a foundation, through people like Peter, and through the Indiegogo campaign. And then on it was March 3rd, we filmed the play in a small theater in Hollywood, again with Haskell Wexler as the cinematographer, or the main cinematographer. We have almost finished the edit. I mean, we're days away from finishing the edit. NITA, which is the organization that distributes to PBS, are going to distribute it to PBS. We've decided to actually wait until early next year because it will be the election year, and we think it'll have more impact. Also, it'll give us more time. We want to kind of create a sort of grassroots interest in the film and Thomas Paine that can then, I think, encourage more PBS stations to air it. So that's our plan. The DVDs, though, will be ready in about 3 weeks, and we'll be ready to sell them. And actually, when we get to it, we have a particular package that we've put together just for the World Union of Deists members, but I can come to that. But that's kind of the story so far.
Well, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. I know I was, when I first heard about this, it was just a little blurb rumor about, did you hear about this guy who did a one-man Tom Paine play?
Uh-huh.
In California. Does anybody know about this? And from that point, yeah, that probably was maybe a year ago or so.
Uh-huh,
I remember exactly. But it just started to build. And then eventually, of course, Bob Johnson, who's the director, got a hold of you and started to track all this information down, got a hold of you, and we went from there. I understand, did you have some connection also with one of the Tom Paine organizations as well?
Well, yes, I've been very closely connected to the Thomas Paine Society in Pasadena, and in fact, for the last 4 years now, they have on Paine's birthday or around his birthday, they have a thing called the Headstrong Club, which is the place in Lewes in England where Paine would go to debate. And they have a sort of debate.
Right.
And so for the last 4 years, I have done Thomas Paine as in that evening. I've also performed for them on site where their offices are. And I also have a very strong connection with the Thomas Paine Society UK, who helped set up. I've performed twice in London at Conway Hall, and Conway was the man who wrote the first really decent biography of Thomas Paine. And this Conway Hall is a sort of philosophical society, an ethical society, where it was, and it's a beautiful old hall. So I've performed there twice, and we have plans. Next spring, I'm going to go. We had tried to make it happen this August, but next spring, I'm going to be going back to perform. I can talk a bit about that trip as well. But yes, so the both okay. Thomas Paine societies, yes.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're dealing with people who, right now, as we're speaking, they have no visual. So we're dealing with voices.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to do is have you give us your YouTube information. You have, mm-hmm. what is it, five videos, vignettes, shall we say?
Yes.
You performing parts of the play, mm-hmm. Tom Paine. There's also a couple on your YouTube website, or YouTube site, channel, that's the word, YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
You also have some of your Harry Bridges material on there as well. So I think what people could do is you can go and take a look and see what we're talking about. And one thing I want to warn you, ladies and gentlemen, is how uncannily similar to the appearance of Tom Paine is Ian Ruskin. It is wonderful. You do a great job. I literally felt as if I was listening to Tom Paine. And, of course, we've only seen paintings and drawings and etchings.
Right,
and there are no photographs back then, obviously. But we have as close to Tom Paine as we're going to get. And you really look at it well. So, please, what is your YouTube channel so folks can take a look at some of the stuff we're talking about here?
Sure. It's I think if I give you this much, it'll work. So if you go to, you know, www.youtube.com/user/the life of Thomas Paine, I'm pretty sure that will take you there.
Okay. If nothing else, they could probably just to Google, or I'm not Google, but...
Well, yeah, if you just go onto YouTube and put in Thomas Paine, or The Life of Thomas Paine,
Thomas,
you will get...
Or how about just Ian Ruskin?
I guess so.
If we go Thomas Paine, we're going to end up with your nemesis there.
Oh, yes.
It's inspirational people.
Bob Basso, yes. Yes,
no,
he was one of my inspirations.
Yeah. We could talk about that a little bit as well. Because one of those things people will notice is that when they do take a look at the vignettes of the YouTube, you are on YouTube, you are specifically answering back to Bob Basso's renditions or his reiteration of what he thought Tom Paine would be saying here in the 21st century. And one of the things that you're doing is saying, just hold on. You know, this is what Tom Paine said. Let's not recreate and put words in his mouth.
Yes, I mean, those little short videos, now they're not what we shot on March 3rd, although they're similar. But we just shot those in my living room. But yes, each one starts with a little splice of Bob Basso. Because I just found, when I discovered him and I watched, it took my breath away. I once said to someone, it's like me doing a video as Gandhi and encouraging America to bomb Iran. It's that far away from the reality of what Paine said, wrote, and believed. So, I just felt I had to put those up. And this was, I mean, I was already writing the play, but I hadn't even thought about making a film of it. But just to try and sort of set the record straight, because, well, if people watch these little videos, what I tried to do was I have a little bit of Bob Basso, and then I tried to respond mainly through the writings of Thomas Paine. Some of the things he said were so sort of outrageous that it was really hard to find anything that Paine could say, you know, but I did my best. But it certainly gives you a sense of my understanding.
Right, and I think you did a real good job as far as being an apologist for Tom Paine.
Right.
I don't mean apology in the way of saying I'm sorry, that's not what apology is, but making the argument for Tom Paine.
Yes.
Considering that Bob Basso apparently is one in a long line of people who have misunderstood and misrepresented what Tom Paine was actually saying. And
yes.
I remember there's that little quote from Theodore Roosevelt that said, what was he, a filthy little atheist?
Yep. And as I say in the play, because I do quote that quote, and I say, filthy, no. Untidy, I grant you. Little, obviously not, because I'm 6'1". An atheist, never. So that takes care of that quote. But yes, it's extraordinary how... It's interesting. I mean, Paine, you know, was quoted by Ronald Reagan. The idea that we have it in our power to begin the world over again, of course, is such a... It's a wonderful statement, but you can interpret it in any way. But the fact that Sarah Palin would quote Thomas Paine, that Glenn Beck called himself the Thomas Paine of today and brought out a book called Common Sense. It's just extraordinary because there are two things. One is all of that is mainly based on one statement, one thing that Paine wrote in Common Sense, which is the bit about government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil, in its worst state, an intolerable one. And that's what the right, the people who want small government, that's what they grabbed onto. They misunderstand what he was saying, and he was saying it to make a point of propaganda, really, to try and get the American people to go to war against England, to throw off, you know, the yoke of British rule. And Paine, through his life, wrote a great deal about the importance of government and about the role of government, and how in 1792, I think it was, when he wrote Agrarian Justice, I might have the date wrong, he basically created the New Deal. At the end of the 18th century.
Would you agree, though, that Thomas Paine's concept of government is somewhat removed from what our concept of government is now?
Oh, yes. I mean, he...
I definitely believed that it was a government by the consent of the governed who established the Constitution, shall we say.
Well, yes, he said things like, governments have no rights, only duties to their citizens. He said things like that. He also wrote quite extensively about how being a politician should never be a career, that people should serve for a limited amount of time and then return back to whatever work they had done before, and that the politicians, the interests of the elected must never be different to the interests of those who elect them. So the idea of someone being a politician for 40 years, or the idea of a Supreme Court judge being appointed for life, he would find appalling. Because he would be concerned that you would become insulated from the people you're representing. You would no longer have the same needs or desires as the people who had elected you. So yes, but he was very clear about that, but he was also clear that government have duties to look after those who are less fortunate or who cannot look after themselves. And that's where it really was like a New Deal that he wrote about.
Well, I understand what you're saying is that Paine's ideas at the time were very radical, and his concept of government not only were radical and new for those days, but other people then appropriated some of those terminologies and turned them into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you were maybe echoing with Palin and some of the other leaders and people who try to grasp on to Tom Paine's visage, I guess, and just say, I'm like Tom Paine, listen to me. And it's like, no, you're actually promoting the ongoing status quo, and you're not really talking about what Tom Paine wanted to have. I mean, we have, it's interesting. I happened to read the letter of Tom Paine from 1805 to the convention in Pennsylvania, where he talks about, I believe, constitutional reform is what it is called. In fact, anybody who wants to Google it, you can look up Constitutional Reform by Thomas Paine. It goes to the citizens of Pennsylvania on the proposal for calling of a convention. He goes into quite a wonderful little dissertation on the nature of a constitution, nature of government, and as you said, Ian, his whole idea echoes what is in the Declaration of Independence, and that is that governments are instituted among men for the purpose of protecting and securing their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness or property. And he echoed these kinds of things, which some people, and maybe we could just jump into this in a moment, and that is Tom Paine's relationship with the Declaration of Independence.
Sure.
So we're going to take a break here. Hang on, folks, because there's some possible surprises coming up here in just a few minutes. And we'll be right back. Stick with us here on Reason, Deism, and God, the podcast from the World Union of Deists. Don't go anywhere.
You were born sinless. Your true freedom from sin is here.
Declare your freedom from the myth of sin with your own personalized declaration of sinlessness and certification of sinlessness from the World Union of Deists now. Free your mind, body, and emotions with the irrefutable 11 reasons of the declaration of sinlessness. Enjoy life again. Live sin-free. No more groveling at the golden altars of revealed religionists who designed an imaginary disease just so they could sell you an imaginary cure. Both your personalized declaration of sinlessness and certification of sinlessness are printed in full color on high-quality parchment paper, shipped in their own black and gold frames, ready for immediate display. Help the World Union of Deists. Spread the light of reason and place your order now. Only $25 plus shipping from the World Union of Deists. www.deism.com. You'll be glad you did.
All right, we're back. Thanks, everybody. Tim Wingate here with Reason, Deism, and God from the World Union of Deists with my guest, Ian Ruskin, who is an actor, writer, author, I'm going to say scholar as well, because Ian, for you to do what you do, you have to do quite a bit of study and learning about these people. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to pretend I'm this person and mouth the words. You get into these characters.
Oh, yes. I mean, now with Harry Bridges, because he died in 1989, so I was able to interview people who knew him. So most of that play was based on, or at least a portion of it, on oral histories. But with Payne, obviously, I just had to read. I had to read endless biographies and talk to my five scholars and watch any little documentaries, not that there was very much out there. But yes, because, I mean, it seems to me if I'm going to write a play about a real person, someone who lived, then it should be accurate. Because I don't consider myself I hate the word impersonator. That's not what I do. I really am trying to bring the man to life. So, yes, you have to. I mean, I'll spend the rest of my life learning more about Thomas Paine because he wrote so much. But yes, I did quite a bit of research. Yeah.
That's good. Well, in your research on Thomas Paine, and I alluded to this before the break, about his relationship to the Declaration of Independence. Have you come across the writings from 1872 of a gentleman by the name of Joel Moody? Thomas Paine actually wrote the Declaration.
Right. I've read that. There are people today who believe that Paine wrote the Declaration. I have to say they're in a minority. I would not attempt to make any kind of statement on that. What I would say is Paine definitely wrote an independence manifesto before the Declaration was written, and whoever did write the Declaration used a lot of the ideas in that manifesto. So certainly there's no question but that Paine had an enormous influence on the Declaration. As to whether he wrote it, I really don't know. The majority of scholars say he did not.
That's what they say. I thought it was interesting in reading. I have noticed that you are dealing with the stories of various influential immigrants to this country who have been misunderstood and marginalized by contemporary historians, and you are working on a third of a similar nature. Can you maybe expound on that idea?
Sure. Certainly, I see Thomas Paine and Harry Bridges as part of the same arc, if you like. And actually, I see Karl Marx in between them. And in many ways, Paine was, his ideas were quite close to Marx, 75 years before Marx. And Harry Bridges was, in terms of economic theory, was a Marxist. So there is that, definitely that connection. And yes, both men immigrated to America, and both men were misunderstood and persecuted by the powers that be for similar reasons. So there is definitely that connection. The next man, and we must talk about Paine as a deist, but we can come back to that. But the next man that I'm going to focus on is Nikola Tesla, who, if people who don't know, he was known as the man who invented the 20th century. He came from Serbia in the late 1800s. He lived till 1943, I think. He invented alternative current electricity. He invented hydroelectricity. He invented remote control, grounding of electricity, X-ray, radio. Many of these things were stolen from him. But he was an absolute genius who was misunderstood, who ended basically living in poverty with many of his inventions and patents stolen from him. So another very fascinating man, but one of the main things he believed he could do and wanted to do, he believed he could gather electrical energy and send vast amounts of it to other places on the planet where it could be used by the people for free. So, of course, the oil companies were not very happy about that. And I think both his labs were burnt down, and he was generally suppressed. He was also a very strange man, so it's going to be a fascinating play.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's the same kind of theme there. Yes.
Great. Well, just to move on, as you alluded to, talk about, we would like to do that to finished up maybe here mm-hmm. our discussion, and that is about Thomas Paine's deism. He was not quiet passive. Let's put it that way. He was not passive about it. He was, in fact, this is a, most people out there, when we talk about Marxism, all they know is Lenin Stalinism as a mm-hmm. form, as the reinterpretation of Marxism. They don't understand that Karl Marx was a sociologist who mm-hmm. believed in confrontationalism. And when you separate the reinterpretation of Marxism by Lenin and Stalin and everybody after that, and then eventually, you know, nobody's practicing communism as Marx and Engels envisioned it. But the confrontational sociologist, he believed in confrontation. And in that way, I would agree that Paine was definitely a confrontationalist. He was not passive. He was out there in your face about deism being more reasonable than any form of revealed religion.
Mm-hmm.
Contributed to why people don't know about him as well? Has there been a conspiracy of silence about Tom Paine because of his deism?
I'm never one to like conspiracy theories, but I think that's really right. I think that the fact that he was so outspoken and so clear about his belief, and as many of your listeners know, almost all of the founding fathers were deists. They were not Christians. In fact, I think John Adams was the only one. And that has been wiped out of the history books. There are two things. It is also true that he said a lot of things against slavery, about the right to vote, about the system of government, which we've talked about a bit, which the powers that be did not like. But he also was the one most outspoken person who was very openly a deist, made it very clear that's what he believed in. He also made it very clear that everybody had a right to their own choice of religion. And there has been, since those great moral movements, that an attempt to create the idea that America was founded as a Christian nation, and it wasn't. So you have to, if you want to try and push that idea that it's a Christian nation, then Paine is the first person you have to suppress, because he was the most outspoken. And it is extraordinary. In Texas, they're taking a lot of Thomas Jefferson out of the out of school books of Jefferson's Bible, where he just, you know, where he cut out all the mirror. But Jefferson never talked about his deism, I don't think, and even Franklin didn't. They were all deists. I think because Paine was so outspoken about it, and of course Paine also in writing Ages of Reason 1 and 2, particularly in part 2, where he basically takes the Bible apart page by page, that didn't go down very well.
One question: have you done any study or research into the Calvinists and their reaction to Paine?
A little. I in the play I say that with Age of Reason, well, with the two Age of Reasons, that what it did, it brought the Federalists. It created an alliance between the Federalists politicians and the Calvinist clergy. And I actually say so that instead of rising in the morning to seek the truth, politicians went to bed at night with the great American moral order. And that a lot of preachers from the pulpit preached Christianity or infidelity. And that was partly out of the outrage about what Paine was writing in Age of Reasons. And as I say in the play, one can but throw one's ideas to the wind, where they are blown is beyond any man's power. But, we know when he came back finally to America, while he still had people who admired him greatly, he was generally hated. When he arrived, the first three taverns he went to get a drink refused to serve him. The ironies in his life are extraordinary. But I think the fact that, and you see, he said, and again, it's in the play, that he wrote Age of Reason Part First to inspire mankind to a more exalted idea of God and as an attack on atheism. He was never an atheist.
Right.
He always believed in whatever you, God or supreme power or universal, whatever you want to call that, he believed in that. And he found it shocking when people were, this was in Paris during the French Revolution, people were murdering priests, you know? He couldn't abide that. That was not the way you deal with it. And he always said, in common sense, above all, religious freedom. Freedom of religious conscience. So he saw that. And the irony is, as we know, that so many of the people who came to the colonies, they came fleeing that kind of repression by government, or the government trying to force them to a particular belief. So there are so many ironies.
It is an irony. And you mentioned the Federalists and the Calvinists. I think we can draw the connection between Republicans and fundamentalists today.
Yes, what's so interesting is that to many fundamentalists, Paine is a hero because they see him as in the same way as the Tea Party, as somebody against the government, and they don't.
But you know why? I'll tell you why. It's real simple. These are people who are used to picking and choosing, basically what we call cafeteria theology.
Choose
what they want and discard what they don't want.
Right, right.
And they are still doing that with the scriptures. They do that with Paine as well.
Right. And I'm hoping, as I said at the beginning, one of the reasons we're waiting for the distribution till next year, there are all kinds of groups of people, certainly including the World Union Deists. I want people to, I'm going to put together a sort of package where people can have house parties where you watch the film, right? And people get DVDs and things. There are organizations, Progressive Democrats of America is another organization that would be interested. But I also, what I do want to do, when we get stations committed to airings, I am going to strongly encourage the Tea Party to watch it. Any evangelical groups that I can kind of identify and get to and say, listen, please watch this. You may not like it. It is all accurate, but we can debate. America was founded on the idea of having debates. So watch it, and maybe some of them will. Maybe. That's my hope.
I like your idea of house parties. It reminds me of the concept of the committees of correspondence that were used in the colonial period to foster revolt. The committee of correspondents would get together, and they would talk about the things of the day. They would exchange information from other committees of correspondents, some of which had obviously affiliation with Sons of Liberty organizations as well. And by doing this, whether it was in a pub, in somebody's home, in some cases even in churches, and occasionally barns, actually, people would get together, and they'd hear these ideas. Somebody would read to them the concepts, the letters, the whatever it was, and as a group they would learn, discuss, debate, and then decide what they were going to do for or against participating in furthering these ideas and these goals. And I think your idea is marvelous. Back a little bit to Payne's deism, we at the World Union of Deists, we have more or less adopted Tom Paine. Is that, you know, not that we have any saints, but he's a patron saint, if you will, for deism. And of course, he would eschew that, I'm sure. looking back, we're not saying literally a saint per se. But one of our tagline is "God gave us reason, not religion." That is one of the things that we use all the time to try and get people to understand what religion is all about, revealed religion specifically, and what deism is all about, and that is the open-minded acknowledgement that there's something greater than mankind, something beyond what we assume to be. We're not to the extreme of the atheists that by faith, their own form of rational secular faith, believe that this is it, we're all there is because we've not seen anything else, therefore there isn't anything. We're simply saying we're open-minded, that there's something else beyond and we're open to it, but we recognize that nature in all of its complexities, micro and macro, is something bigger and greater than man, and we don't completely understand it yet, because if we did, we would have anti-gravity, we would have free energy, we would have all kinds of things that we obviously haven't figured out yet understanding the laws of nature.
Right.
So we're moving forward with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So moving on, you had mentioned that something about a trip to England.
Yes, we tried to organize it for this August, but it's not going to happen this August, but it will happen next spring. And what I know I'm going to perform the play in Thetford, where Payne was born, in Lewes, where he lived as an adult before he came to the colonies, possibly at the Benjamin Franklin House in London. There are two other sites. There's a place called the American Museum in Bristol. There's also Solgrave Manor, which is the ancestral home of Washington, and they're interested. So I'm going to put together a tour to perform in as many different places. Plus, I'm also hoping to perform at some universities and some teacher union conventions. So I have the bookings, there are two that are basically definite, which are both going to be organized by the Thomas Paine Society UK. And I have to book more because to get there, and I want to take my producing partner who does the cues and helps run the plays and everything. You know, it's a lot of money to fly there for a start. So I need to raise money for that trip, but I think it's a very important trip. There is also a very slim possibility of performing it for the Houses of Parliament. It would be very, very interesting.
What are you doing as fundraisers? How can people help you?
Right. Well, this is from conversation with Bob Johnson, and we came up I will be selling the DVDs and T-shirts and things like that fairly soon on my website, which is thelifeofthomaspaine.org. The Life of Thomas Paine. Yep. .org, yeah. That's the website. However, we came up with an idea of a special package that could help get me to England. And what it is that for $60, and this is only going to be for your members, really. I'm not announcing it anywhere else. For $60, you get a signed copy of the DVD, a signed copy of the audio version of the play, a signed copy of a photo of me as Thomas Paine, and $10 of that 60 goes to the World Union of Deists to help, you know, cover your costs. And that's something where what we're going to do, Bob Johnson is going to set up at, now your site is deism.
It's www.deism, deism.com.
Okay, so that on that site, that would be the place to send your order to and send your check,
right,
or however. I'm not quite sure how
page.
You would, but it'll all go through your site, and then Bob or someone will send me the 50 and keep the 10, which is wonderful, and send me all the information of the names of people, and then we will mail it all out. And we will have the audio version I have now. The photos are easy to do. The DVDs themselves will be ready in about 3 weeks. So within a month, say, this can go up. And that money I want to put aside to get me to England, because I think it's really important to do these performances where he was born and where he lived. Because in England, he's also a hero. You know, it's very important to tell his message in England. And also, I would love to take the play. Well, we're also hoping to have the film distributed overseas, the actual film. Hopefully in England, hopefully in France, because he had a huge impact on the French Revolution. Hopefully in Canada, Australia. I mean, because he said, I am a citizen of the world. So that's another idea. So yeah, there's a lot happening, but I think the trip to England is, it feels very sort of important, kind of taking him back to his roots, you know, I think will be a good thing. Oh, well, just one more thing I want to say with the DVD, so it'll be the full length play, which is about 74 minutes, because we had to cut it to make it an hour program for television. So the DVD has the whole play, and also it will have, it's an 11 minute slide sequence with music, and it's from the American Philosophical Society, and they have a really incredible collection of Paine works, and I performed for them. And this is, so it's images of portraits of Paine, some of the front pages of his writings, and also some of the cartoons at the time, which were vicious. But it's a really interesting 11 minutes. It's another way of kind of getting the story of Thomas Paine. So that'll be like a special feature on the DVD, which I'm very excited about, because I use it often when I do my play.
Looking so forward to getting the DVD. Now, just to touch on this again, now you mentioned that you're going to delay the distribution of the cut version for television, for PBS. You're going to wait till next year? Is that the idea?
Yeah, we're thinking next year, in a way, particularly because of for two reasons. Because next year is the presidential election, and I think it would be a good time for people to hear this story and maybe get people thinking a little bit about, you know, things in a slightly different way. But also, it'll give us time, because I will hire, they're called station relations people, a person who promotes the film to all the PBS stations. That's their job, and they know everybody. PBS stations pick their own schedule. So what Nita does, Nita puts it up on a satellite, and PBS knows that if Nita have put it up, that it is of a certain quality, and Nita describes the program. But we were trying to rush it, because we were thinking of July 4th weekend, but it's too late for this July 4th. So we suddenly thought, well, wait a minute, let's step back. Let's really try to get this a kind of campaign going, right? Try and get some publicity, try and get some interviews on NPR or whatever. You know, there's no reason why I couldn't go to Charlie Rose.
Grassroots. You know?
Yes, and get a grassroots kind of movement.
Sure, why not?
And then stations are more likely to air it. And then we have more people who watch it. So it just seemed to make sense. We were pushing and pushing, and then we suddenly, what happened, we did a screening last Sunday for the crew, my producers, and some documentary filmmakers and people involved in the film industry. And they strongly said, no, don't push it. This is too important. This needs, you want to make sure that as many people see it as possible. So you want to really, really consider and create a campaign to make that happen. So that's what changed my mind. But we can have overseas distribution anytime. So I will start working on that.
All right, Ian, thank you. Hang on, don't go anywhere yet. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on Reason, Deism, and God for the World Union of Deists, our podcast. My guest today has been Ian Ruskin. He does a one-man play of the life of Tom Paine. begin the world anew. And this will be available. Don't forget to check out his website.
TheLifeOfThomasPaine.org.
Thank you. So, folks, thanks for joining us.
That wraps up another podcast for the World Union of Deists. Thank you for joining with us on Reason, Deism, and God. Remember, you can get a hold of us at www.deism.com. And also look for us on Facebook at the World Union of Deists. On Facebook, as a community organization, we also have a World Union of Deists group. And you can also get a hold of us through the Declaration of Sinlessness site, facebook.com/bornsinfree. Catch you again, and remember, God gave us reason, not religion.